Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome to an hour of Mind Power. But we're going to be talking about today a subject that may or may not relate to you, and that's marriage. Yes. Love and marriage, love and marriage. We all have heard that delightful tune that's been bouncing around for years and years, but I have a guest today who has an attitude about having a successful marriage. We're going to be talking with Yisroel Roll. His book is called Shut Up and Stay Married, The Secret to Marriage Success. And I have to tell you, the cover on this book is something else. There's duct tape over the face of a young lady, not over the face, over the mouth, and duct tape over the man's mouth as well. So we are going to find out more about this fascinating man. Hello, how are you, Yisroel? Thank you for being with me.
Donna, thank you so much for having me on the show.
Well, I really, as I was saying to you before we went on air, when I heard the title of this book, I thought, is this really something that I'm going to want to review? And Milton, your PR person, he said, absolutely, you're going to want to read this. He's got perspectives that are not what you would imagine people would deal with. You're a man that has been involved with counseling people for a long time.
Right.
You have become what is called an innovative psychotherapist. But what I found equally interesting is that you're an attorney as well.
That's right. That's right. So I cover all angles.
I thought, this is really a power package, a lawyer and an innovative psychotherapist. So you have seen more than one perspective. Now, you started in Toronto as a criminal defense and litigation lawyer. How did you ever get into the other side of counseling? I mean, this is really an interesting story. Tell us how you wove this tapestry of uniqueness.
Thank you so much, Donna. I began as an advocate for people, fighting for their rights, fighting for the underdog in criminal court as a defense lawyer. I worked in custody cases, divorce cases, and then I went on and said, well, let me stop fighting and tearing people down. Let me move into and metamorphize into a person who builds people up. And therefore, I decided that my life needs to work in the direction of building, strengthening, the strength model idea, as opposed to the advocacy attacking idea. Mm-hmm. So I morphed from law into psychology and psychotherapy, how to build people.
Now, you were involved in a therapy, and I haven't been familiar with this one at all. It was called identity therapy. How did you get introduced to that, and what made it push your particular learning buttons?
Well, I believe through my counseling work, I've been stressing the idea of self-esteem. And I believe that self-esteem, feeling whole with yourself, is a crucial concept for success in life, and in particular for success in marriage. Then I developed, and the identity therapy idea, Donna, is my idea. I've developed a concept called identity therapy. And I believe it's the uniform, cross-the-board, unifying theory that unifies all theories in psychology. It unifies cognitive theory, behavioral therapy, psychoanalytic theory, and behavioral therapy into one common theme, and that is identity therapy. If you know who you are, if you know what your strengths are, if you know what your mission is in life, then everything falls into place. And if a person feels good about themselves, then they can shut up and stay married.
Okay. We're going to have to find out some more about the shutting up side. You make a comment right at the beginning of your book, which I can really relate to personally. When I was growing up, I know how much words hurt me, and it's the adage, sticks and stones can break your bones, but words will not hurt you any, and that is not true.
That's
right. Because viciousness, cruel words, I remember how deeply they impacted me when I was growing up, and how my self-image and self-esteem, especially by members of family, was deeply affected because of how they manipulated with the use of their words. And now as a mature adult, I understand what the game plan was when I was a kid. And that's a perspective that hopefully you gain as you grow older. But regardless, words that are expressed in a thoughtless, undisciplined manner, and especially if they're backed with viciousness, can really shred somebody quite deeply, and it stays with them for a long, long time.
Absolutely. A child growing up, Donna, has no sense of self. They have no perspective, no self-reflection, no ability to say, I am this way in this world. I am like this. This is who I am. They don't perceive themselves. You don't have a power of self-reflection. The only way you have a sense of who you are is through interaction with authority figures, with significant others. So they tell you, you're a good boy. Oh, I'm a good boy. You're a sweet child. Oh, I'm a sweet. You're a kind person. Oh, I am? I'm a kind person. When someone tells me who I am when I'm 5 years old, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, I gain a sense of understanding of who I am through the feedback, what we call in psychology, reflected appraisals. They appraise me. Mm-hmm. And that's the only way I get a sense of self. So when our subconscious mind as a child, when we're criticized, put down, is, I'm not good enough. And I've discovered that children, when they grow into adulthood and you go into marriage, you carry this negative self-identity with you into marriage. So when your spouse says to you, you didn't take out the garbage, it triggers in your heart, you say, I didn't take out the garbage? Am I a bad person? I must be bad. Oh, my God. And then you say back to your spouse, yeah, but you didn't call me when you were coming home from work. You didn't help me out with the laundry. So you feel like you're attacked, and therefore you feel compelled to attack back.
We human beings are quite interesting because we have such a diversity in cultures. And when you have people, let's say, that get married, that come from different cultures, that haven't a clue, they haven't taken the time to really find out about the cultural differences, it is really quite an adventure, and sometimes it's quite a painful one that ends up with a great many tears. I like the way you start out with your book, that sharing feelings is fine, but you have to ask yourself, when I want to said to me, if I were in public, but I want this to be heard. And lots of times, there are those people who are vicious and vindictive, and they really don't give a hoot one way or the other. But most of the time, if we will ask ourselves, would I want that said to me, we will pause and think before we speak. Let's hope for. But it's really sad, I think, as a statement in society, when we don't realize that there really is a time and a place for things many times, and we have to be aware that our words do have an impact. And you say, stop criticizing. Boy, is that a big one.
Absolutely.
It is a big one. Is that one of the biggest problems that you find that couples have?
Absolutely. I think that my theory of success in marriage is predicated on zero tolerance on criticism. If you're going to put someone down, then what you do is you destroy the emotional safety in the marriage. In the marketplace, in competition, during the recession, we're out there, we're fighting people, we're fighting for a living. And when you come home, we have an expectation, a hope, a prayer that you're going to feel safe. You're going to feel emotionally protected and safe. When your spouse says, you're not there for me. You're not doing this for me. Why didn't you do this? Why aren't you doing that? What? Then you're getting attacked at home as well. You have no emotional protection. And so if you have low self-esteem, if you have a low identity, a low self-concept, you're forced to defend yourself or to attack back. So therefore, criticism is crucial to be a zero tolerance. Get it out of the picture. And I invite your listeners to try an experiment. 24 hours of zero criticism either way. And you will find some breathing space, some room where the actual original feelings of love will come up to the surface and rekindle some feelings of positivity toward the spouse.
You bring out a point that your observation has been successful marriages aren't focused on winning a battle or being right or wrong. They want to build a foundation of trust, mutual trust. Now, that is something that I think is extremely important, because if someone has never known that in their life, if they have been betrayed by maybe a former lover or member of family or whatever, it is really a tough thing to build. And there are so many people I know that go into marriage, they don't trust themselves, much less anybody else. And right there, you've got a cesspool for disaster.
Absolutely. I think the key is, before you can love somebody else, you got to love yourself. And if we're coming into marriage from childhood broken, hurt, put down, with a unfinished business from our childhood of being not good enough, then you're not going to be able to have an adult conversation. You're not going to be able to have an adult-to-adult trusting conversation, because you're going to be expecting the other person to continue the barrage of putting you down. And we have to first save ourselves, change our own sense of self, and then enter into a healthy marriage.
I think many times when couples come together, it's almost as if they've entered into a classroom of experience. And they have a choice of growing into who they really are and being comfortable in their own skin, or they can accept whatever they think they're supposed to accept. And martyrdom is a waste of time, as far as I'm concerned. Everyone that I know of is dead. So
right.
Martyrs just don't work. And I think, or martyrdom doesn't work, I think that you bring out a point that if someone is in a very abusive situation, don't stay there. This isn't saying you don't speak up or speak out. It means you take responsibility for yourself. And that's one of the keys that you bring out in this book, is personal responsibility and personal accountability. And I really think that is important. I think that's a very big issue in today's world.
I think accountability for yourself and accountability toward your spouse are crucial concepts. I love your idea, Donna, of that life or marriage is a classroom of learning experiences. You really don't know somebody until you start living together and being married together. And when you live day to day and a person is commenting to you in the language we use toward each other, your real self comes to play.
Mm-hmm.
And you, in the classroom of life, you have to be able to be respectful. It's a responsibility to be respectful, to hold your tongue. And I believe you can only hold your tongue if you're feeling whole with yourself. If you're feeling broken, then when your spouse does something you don't like, you're going to comment, I don't like the way you do that. I don't like the way you wait. I don't like the way you're making this living. I don't like the way you cook. I don't like the way you're behaving with the children. You find fault with somebody else because you're finding fault within yourself. You can only see something wrong with somebody else, with your spouse, if you yourself have the same fault within you.
I really like a statement you have in your book, and I can tell you this took me quite a few years to learn, and it had to do with self-esteem, and I'm just speaking about myself, but this is what you say: your sense of self does not depend on positive comments by your spouse. I think so many times culturally, and I think of various cultures that are running through my head at this time, including social cultures in the United States, gee whiz, I know because I was raised with them, this is something you're subservient. This is what you are. This is what you do. This is blah, blah, blah. And to get to the point where you can look at something and say, no, I really don't need that person's approval. I really don't care if so-and-so likes me or doesn't like me. It's no big deal. Or if you get anxious, you sit and think about it and you go, you know what? They have a time. They're entitled to their opinion, but I sure do like who I am, and this is what I'm going to do. And I'm comfortable in my own skin. That is not an easy road to travel to get to. You call it serenity of self in your book. That's a big challenge for anybody.
That challenge, I think, is the challenge of life, Donna. You hit it right on the head, and that's. I'm so glad you mentioned that, because if you find serenity within your own self, with your own skin, and you say, what my parents have said to me growing up, and the feedback I got from teachers, from being bullied by peers, I'm not good enough, I was picked last for the team, I wasn't so pretty, I wasn't so handsome, I wasn't the captain of the team, I wasn't so great. A person has to liberate themselves from being dependent on other people's evaluations and then learn to self-evaluate and say, you know what, I am a valuable person. And I have a technique to do that in the book, Donna, on page 24, which has a circle of six sections. You draw a circle, a pizza pie, and you divide it up into six sections of one's personality. And you analyze and break down your personality into the intellect, your intellectual strengths, into your social skills, your spiritual skills, your character, your talents, abilities, and your goals. And if you take a picture of yourself, take an inventory of your strengths, just say, I'm not a great guy or a great girl. What I am is, let's look at my strengths and break them down into six ways in which I interact with the world. Then you can start saying, hey, you know what? I don't need someone else to tell me I'm okay. I know I'm okay. I evaluate myself. That's the beginning of developing a sense of love and validation of yourself. And I think the key is the character section. Of the six sections, Donna, the mm-hmm. most important one, I believe, is character. Who are you? What is your value?
Mm-hmm. I think that when it comes to relationships, marital relationships, we've got so much Cinderella stuff and woo-woo specials. All these fantasies about life. Life is a tough proposition. I'll tell you, one of the things that really wakes you up into the reality of life is when your spouse gets sick, has the flu, and suddenly starts throwing up. It goes halfway across the room. I mean, right. And you got to clean it up. And you're going, this is something I've chosen to get into?
I didn't buy into this.
I didn't buy into cleaning up vomit or having, right. You know, these things. And this is, but life is a pretty tough proposition. You're going to have times when there could be economic failures. I've had so many clients of my own just recently who have had spouses that have been extremely ill, super big medical bills they're having to go through. One person possibly losing their home because of the severe challenges of a spouse being out of work. And it doesn't make any difference whether it's male or female. You have conditions of phenomenal situations that can occur to anyone. And that is really where the commitment to an individual, you have to look at it. There's no such thing as an absolutely perfect human being. It doesn't exist. And we're all going to have bad days. We're all going to have days where we just feel like things are falling apart. And there, that word trust, that five-letter word trust with a big capital T, is so important. If someone's ill, are that commitment of being able to follow through and to do things, and to, I mean, it's really significant. What is the biggest aha that you have found some of your clients or one or two of your clients come to your mind as a couple when they're dealing with these adversities? Why do they think it's supposed to be smooth riding all the time? It doesn't work that way.
I think the media, the movies, the romance books, they're leading us down a garden path of an idyllic world, a romantic world. And you know, the word romance comes from the French word, I come from Canada, so the French word roman, which means fiction. Romance is built on the word roman, which means fiction. It's not real.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Romance is infatuation, chemistry. It's got to be there. But real love is based on trust. And if you are not able to be there for your spouse, the biggest aha moment I have is when couples come into my office and they say, the wife says to the husband, you're not there for me. He says, what do you mean I'm not there for you? I work, I take care of the kids, I clean the car, I clean that. What do you mean I'm not there for you? He doesn't get it that you're not there for me emotionally. And emotional support is the key for marriage. To be able to be there for your spouse when she's sick or when he's sick, when he's down, when he's not making a great living right now because of the recession. You've got to be there for somebody. And I use this wonderful analogy. You know, ask your listeners, who here loves fish? Everyone loves fish. Who loves steak? I love steak, right? And what do you do to the steak that you love? You slaughter it, cut it up, broil it, and eat it with barbecue sauce. You love steak? That's what you do to steak? If you love steak, you take Bessie the cow, put her in your back garden, groom her, talk to her, milk her, right? And look after her. That's what, if I love steak. When I say I love steak, I'm saying I love what the steak does for me. I'm not saying I love the steak, I love the cow. Mm-hmm. So when we say I love you, what are we saying? We're saying I love you when you take care of me. I love you when you provide for me. I love you when you cook for me. I love you when you give me good sex. I love you because I love what you do for me. That's not what love means. Love means what I do for you. And you use the word commitment. That's a correct word. That's a beautiful word. Commitment, loyalty, giving. That's what love is. Love is not what you're doing for me. Love is what I'm going to do to help you, to build you.
Mm-hmm. And the art of listening goes along with that. I think so many times in relationships with people, we need to allow, and this comes hopefully with maturity, because I think when we're young, we have to go through bumps and grinds, and not that you don't do it when you're older, but if you have learned and you are willing to listen, you recognize no one ever gets through this life without getting smacked around one way or another, financially, emotionally. I mean, there's just all kinds of challenges that we have. I really like a sentence in your book. You said, if the universe was not interested in your development, it would not take the time to challenge you. And I like that perspective, because life is a challenge. I don't care what generation you talk about. You can go back through history. If you think any generation has had it perfect, boy, I would challenge you on that one.
Right. The purpose of what people think, ask anybody, Donna, right? Ask, or being a roving reporter and ask people on the street, in the studio, mm-hmm. What's the purpose of life? They'll tell you, everyone will tell you, and I say, I agree. The purpose of life is to be happy. I want to be happy. Mm-hmm. What happens? When we have a challenge in life, and if the premise of life is I want to be happy, and I have a challenge in life which goes contrary to my being happy, because when I'm challenged, I'm not happy, then I get depressed because I'm not fulfilling my purpose, which is to be happy. But if we change the premise, the purpose of life is not being happy. The purpose of life is to grow into the best person you can become, the most sensitive, caring, compassionate, giving person that you can be. Mm-hmm. And if challenges make me more sensitive and more giving and make me think about how to give, to be a giver, then the challenge is actually helping me grow and helping me achieve my purpose in life. So let's change the premise. My purpose is I want to grow. I want to become better. I want to become a better person, a bigger person. If that's the case, challenges help me grow. I love challenges.
Mm-hmm. You have a marvelous story in here that I'd love for you to share with my listeners. It's about a teacher who lives in Jerusalem. It's Rabbi Cardozo. He talked about a neighbor who was a member of the Jerusalem Symphony Orchestra, and he would love listening to the music. And this neighbor offered him some tickets to the performance of Mozart's Fifth at the home of Israel's president, featuring Yitzhak Perlman. And it was just wonderful, but tell what happened when he went to the concert after having listened to his neighbor play for so long. This is a powerful story.
Thank you, Donna. Rabbi Cardoza, my teacher, came home after the concert from Yitzhak Perlman and knocked on the door of his neighbor at 11:30 at night and said, I've been listening to you play this Mozart's Fifth and practice it for 6 months now. And when Yitzhak Perlman played it, I didn't recognize it at all. How come you played it six months? And I'm listening to every night while I'm working and studying, and this performance tonight was like shocking to me because I didn't recognize any of the notes. So he said, in 3 weeks' time, Sir Yehudi Menuhin is coming to play at the center in Tel Aviv. I want you to come and hear Mozart's Fifth again with our symphony, and you'll have your answer. 3 weeks later, he goes with his wife. Here is the performance. His friend was in the orchestra, and Sir Yehudi Menuhin played the song. He came back, played the symphony. Came back that night, 11:30 night, knocked on his door and said, now I understand. The same notes as Mozart. You played it for 6 months. Yitzhak Perlman played it in the performance 3 weeks ago, and tonight Menuhin played it. And guess what? The notes didn't change, but the passion changed.
Mm-hmm.
The interpretation mm-hmm. changed. If you would ever say, I want to change Mozart, I want to change the notes, no one can change the notes. The notes are always the same. But the passion can change. What you put into it changes. Your energy level changes. And that's what our uniqueness is. Each of us in marriage, each of us in life is unique. And I think challenges are uniquely tailored to bring out our unique dormant talents.
I agree. And I think there is also something that's been shared frequently by people, that when you find yourself being extremely critical, that doesn't mean that there are not times when you must express certain points of information to people, because let's face it, we are going to learn from mistakes that we make. But before we really lash into someone or make a comment, we need to ask ourselves, how can we present it? What is the person like that's in front of us? How can we best reach them? And everybody's different. And we all hear different things. We all feel things in different perspectives. And that is what makes the human story, I think, so absolutely fabulous. Love and fear, these two components are something we have to deal with daily. And you have so many good comments in your book about people computing together solutions to problems, sitting down and working them out, and I had to chuckle. You said texting does not make for an emotional bond. No kidding.
Right.
I mean, this is just not going to work. I know business people that when they're communicating, they think, well, this is really HEP. This is the best way to do it, and they're forgetting to pick up the phone and make a connection with someone else. The texting, the emailing isn't doing it, and they end up getting people very angry because of it. And they go, I don't understand what I was doing wrong. So the human connection is never going to go away. And your book brings out such good information that I'm really impressed. The book, Shut Up and Stay Married, is a good one. What's your website that people can go to?
Donna, it's shutupandstaymarried.com.
Well, there you go. Sweet and simple. But I'll tell you what, this book, and it's not a real thick book, it's something that you can read, but it's got so much meat into it that you'll want to think at the end of each chapter, is this something I need to be aware of? What can I look at? How can I be more aware of myself? And any kind of a tool that empowers you is a good tool. If it empowers you to understand your own strengths, your own weaknesses, even to be able to be accountable for yourself and recognize that you can have better relations with people and especially your spouse. Yisroel Rol, I just have enjoyed having you as a guest so much. Your website, Shut Up and Stay Married, I think that has a lot in that few amount of words. I'm so delighted you were able to be with me today. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Donna.
This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. We'll be back. Don't forget, go to shutupandstaymarried.com. If you know of some young people that are having challenges, pass it on. They can use the help. This is Donna. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Well, if you want to give me a buzz, the telephone number to call into is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. If you're a first-time listener, welcome to the show. And all I have to have from you when you call in is your first name or your initial, and then I give you my mental impressions. And, of course, after I finish, you're welcome to ask me a question that may be particularly significant to you. Now, for those of you in Southern California, I want to let you know I am going to be coming down into Southern California tomorrow. I will be doing a live broadcast in Santa Barbara tomorrow evening, and I'm going to be there in Santa Barbara for a couple of days, as well as a day in Santa Ana, and then I'll be up in the Glendale-Burbank area. If you want to know how to reach me or you want to meet with me privately, you can always call me at 253-582-5604. That's my office number. And again, that's 253-582-5604. And phone numbers are also posted up on my website. I want to thank those of you that are sending me wonderful stories and bits and pieces of information. It's just delightful. And I am so pleased to be able to share some of the stuff that's been sent to me. And one of these items came from an individual, and I don't have their name in front of me, and my apologies, but it was about Maya Angelou. And I have a great deal of respect for this woman. She's a wonderful poet. And maybe you've heard this before, I don't know, but she was interviewed by Oprah when she was celebrating her 70th-plus birthday. And Oprah asked her what she thought about growing older. And she said so openly and so easily that it was exciting. And this is verbatim what she said. Regarding body changes, she said there were many, many occurring every day. Like her breasts, they seemed to be in a race to see which one would reach her waist first. The audience laughed so hard that they were crying. I mean, it just, they could hardly believe that this was coming out of this woman's mouth. She was so direct and so honest and so wise. And she said, I've learned that no matter what happens or how bad it seems today, life goes on and it will be better tomorrow. I've learned that you can tell a lot about a person by the way he or she handles three things, a rainy day, lost luggage, and tangled Christmas lights. I've learned that regardless of your relationship with your parents, you'll miss them when they're gone from your life. I've learned that making a living is not the same thing as making a life. I've learned that life sometimes gives you a second chance. I've learned you shouldn't go through life with a catcher's mitt on both hands. You need to be able to throw some things back. I've learned that whenever I decide with something with an open heart, I usually make the right decision. I've learned that even when I have pains, I don't have to be one. I've learned that every day you should reach out and touch someone. People love a warm hug or just a friendly pat on the back. I've learned that I still have a lot to learn, and I've learned that people will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel. These words, I think, are so powerful, and you don't need to be 70 plus to appreciate them, because life is for the living, and it's what we do with today, what we do with ourselves. When I think of Mr. Rowe and our conversation today about marriage, I think when people, when they choose to come together, if they can realize that they're going to grow, they're going to expand, they're going to have good and bad days, just like Maya said. And it's what you do with them that makes a difference. Now, you don't have to like them. Nobody likes hard times. Anybody that sits around just says, oh, everything's peachy keen when the world's falling apart around them, you know something's wrong. It's okay to get angry at times. It's okay to feel sad. It's okay to acknowledge that you're confused, that you're frustrated. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just you don't stay in it. Terry Cole Whitaker, many years ago, used two words that I really liked, pity pot. And I think everybody has an extra of one of those every once in a while, and we like to think that we bust them, get them out of the way, but then every once in a while, they got to pull out another pity pot and wallow in it for a while. But the key is you break it up and you get rid of it. It's okay to have bad times, down times, dark moments, but you don't have to stay there. And that boils down to choice. Life is a wonderful experience, and if you can express gratitude just for where you are, just for the moment, look at all of the blessings that you have around in your life. Start saying thank you for those blessings, the people, the things, nature. There's so much to be grateful for. Then that'll help you pull yourself out. And then you can get to that decision-making positioning of doing what you need to do for yourself in the right way, in the right manner, in the right time. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-627-6008. Do you do baking? Do you use glass cookware? I do. I love glass baking dishes. I was given a gift of them when I was married many years ago, and I'm still using these same dishes. I just love them. Well, it was at the earlier part of this year, I had heard someone talk about do not put Pyrex into your microwave. It's going to crack on you. And I thought, oh, you've got to be kidding. I've baked and used glass items for years and years and years. Well, apparently, more and more people have been having experiences about items exploding on them, either after being on the microwave or something else, and just really not being very good. Then we were told that there were items that had come over from China that were made of particular materials, and if they came from China, you had to be extremely careful because they would explode on you. Well, I got an item from the Consumer Report, and there were over 140 new incidences reported not all that long ago about baking dishes breaking, just absolutely shattering right in front of people's eyes. Well, it grabbed my attention, so I thought I would share it with you. Now, many years ago, Pyrex and Anchor Hawking made all of their glass products out of a heat-resistant glass called borosilicate. I was totally unfamiliar with this. I know that there had to be certain ingredients so that your glass wouldn't shatter on you. They don't know when the switch occurred, and it might have just been in the past few years. Instead of using the borosilicate, they now use soda lime glass. Why? It's less expensive to produce. And they say the soda lime is strengthened with a thermal tempering process, and that it's no more likely than borosilicate to shatter under sudden temperature changes, and has a greater resistance to breakage from impact, which they say is a more common occurrence of injury. However, they have been testing glass, and they found if you happen to put them on this new glass composition, if you put it on a wet granite counter, didn't do so well. Now, the European glass makers are still using the borosilicate. They don't have these problems. When you look at any item of glass that you're going to want to purchase, you have to pay attention, and you must be aware that this could shatter in your oven. Safety rules that they give you with the glass items at this time might prevent a lot of this shattering to occur. However, there have been a number of people that have been having things occur. One lady, in March of last year, she had an Anchor Hawking glass baking dish. She was using it to make cakes, and she was at a charity event. She said it exploded. Just exploded. The dish just exploded on her. And she said it threw shards of glass all over the place. So we need to be aware that you have to pay attention. And one of the things is when people put stuff into a microwave, that water can all of a sudden explode and blow up on you when you take it out, because of the way the microwaves operate and heat the liquids. You just have to really be aware. So this is something that Consumer Reports has quite an article on, and it is, let's see, what's the issue? It is in their October issue, so if you want to read more about it. Also, they've got a picture of a woman, Debbie Parker of Pontiac, Michigan. She took a picture of a cake that was sitting in a glass baking dish, and it was with her family, and all of a sudden it just broke apart. I had that happen to me with some fine crystal many years ago. All of a sudden it just shattered, and I honestly didn't know if it was because of a temperature change or maybe there was a sound frequency that occurred. I didn't know. But it happened to me more than once with these particular crystal glasses that I had. So you need to be aware that because of the shift in the change that it's been made in the products, you need to be thoughtful. You need to be alert. You probably aren't going to have much of a problem at all. Of course, the ones I have were made back, I'm sure, when they had the borosilicate. They just don't know when the shift was made in the component that's put into the product at this time. It really is something. So here are some tips. Never place directly on a burner or under a broiler any glass items, baking glass items, and add your liquid prior to cooking your meats or vegetables. Be sure you preheat your oven before you put the glass in. And when you take your glass items out, place them on a hot cloth, a pot holder, or if you have a cork or something, it's going to take care of the heat absorption there. I just wanted to share that with you. Okay, we're going to take a break for just a minute. Give me a buzz if you want to chat, 888-627-6008. We're going to be right back.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedros accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5000. 5604. You can also visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
BBSRadio.com. If it's not mainstream.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. I want to let you know tomorrow, because I will be flying to California, I will not be able to do the show live, but we have a Dr. Gentry that's going to be on, and I know you will enjoy him. So we're going to be talking, or you're going to be able to listen to him tomorrow. And then Thursday, I'll be broadcasting live from Santa Barbara, California. Herbal healing for children is going to be our topic. Demetria Clark is going to be my guest. And then the psilocybin solution by Simon Powell is going to be something else that we're going to be talking about. And this is about mushrooms. Fascinating subject matter, lots to learn, and I hope that you will join us. And I want to say hello to the people in Australia that are listening to the show. I had the good fortune of talking with a delightful individual, Randy, yesterday, who has been listening to the show from Down Under and really enjoys it, and called me up wanting to know about how I got involved in everything else. So it's wonderful to have this international community that participates as listening audience to the program that we have been doing for so many years now. It's just absolutely wonderful. It just shows you how the world is so much smaller because of technology. I wanted to share some health information with you, because you may or may not have had someone in your family or a friend that you have become aware of that's had a stroke. I feel we're very fortunate today, because maybe just as recently as 10 years ago, when someone had a stroke, it was considered to be the stroke. That's it. You weren't going to see much of anything happening, and you pretty much were going to be disabled, paralyzed, just a very negative situation. And amazingly, in America, we have more than 800,000 people a year that go through strokes. And believe it or not, it happens to young people as well as to elderly people. It's just amazing. And I think the likelihood is more common with older individuals, but that has been changing. And we have a very good friend that ended up having a stroke, I think it was about 6 weeks ago. When we got the news, we were really stunned, because this is a person that's slim, trim, he takes care of himself, he really exercises, he just does everything according to the agendas that are promoted. Well, he ended up having a blood clot that ruptured in the brain, and that obviously caused the stroke. He's almost back to as good as he was before. Why? Because they have learned that when someone has a stroke, one, you start physical therapy right away, and the brain starts recalibrating the transmission of information and starts rebuilding around what maybe has been damaged. And, of course, there is severity of strokes that can make a difference. Well, there was a woman who had a mother. This is 5 years ago. She had a massive stroke, and it was so severe that she lost her ability to speak, and she couldn't use her right side at all. However, because of therapy, she's been able to start walking, and she can comprehend when people are talking to her. And she said, I've had my mom with me for 5 years, and being around the children has been very good. So there's been a lot going on, and because of her personal experience, and she is a physician's assistant, she decided to start a stroke caregivers group on Facebook, and she launched a website. And if you know of anybody that would like to have a website to check out regarding strokes, she said mystrokecaregiver.com. That is the website, www.mystrokecaregiver.com. And it gives hints to people that are taking care of individuals that have gone through strokes. And she said, we need to be able to communicate with each other, because I have found that having other people that have gone through similar circumstances is so very, very helpful. And she said, the information on the web is great, but sometimes you need to talk to somebody that's actually gone through the experience. And in today's world, again, we've come to an understanding that there are things that we can do physically to help people come back to what they need to be. And they had a case, and this was a number of years ago, that I happened to see the television program, and it was about, they had two men. Each of these men had very, very severe strokes. One had the left side of the body was totally not working right. The other one, the right side of the body wasn't working right. They started doing physical therapy with them, forcing them to use the part of the body that had not continued to function well. And within a year, both of those men were physically balanced. And that is what we have found with our friends. There is so much that we need to be alert to and aware of. And there are people out there that are living experiences, living conditions every day, and we need to be able to communicate with each other. And that's what's wonderful about the social networking. That's what's wonderful about the internet. You can research. There are so many people that are willing to share. But more than anything else, be sure that in your communities, you get to know those groups that are actively participating within your own environment. There is so much that if just in our own neighborhoods, if we take the time to be alert and be aware, that really can benefit not just us, but maybe somebody that we know. It's amazing. Word of mouth is still one of the best ways to get information out. And it is consistent. I am just surprised. Because if you think about it, usually we live within a certain radius. Get to know your neighbors, too. I have found that when I'm out walking, my little dog, my little Scotty Victor, hardly a day goes by where I'm not saying good morning to somebody, or we chit-chat just for a moment or two. It's that connection. And it's important. It really is, because it makes a difference in people's lives. And remember something, too. Smile. A smile can go a long way in making a person's day a richer one. And remember, it keeps you from getting wrinkles, too. That's right. This is Donna Sebo. I know that we're just about out of time. I will, again, not be live tomorrow. We'll be doing a pre-recorded broadcast. And if you have not heard Dr. Gentry, well, I think you're going to want to hear this show. He's a very special guy, and he has some marvelous information to share. And then on Thursday, I'll be back with you live in Santa Barbara, as well as on Friday, broadcasting from that beautiful community that has so much magic and art in it. And then on Monday, I will be broadcasting from the Los Angeles Glendale area, and we'll be talking about the corporate whistleblowers. If you want to know more about the guests that are going to be on the show during the remaining part of the month, hey, check out show information, and it's all there. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Talk to you soon. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.